Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 62, stanzas 1 through 4. The man that fears the Lord, God's way shall understand. His soul shall ever dwell at ease. His children rule the land. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 62.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Genesis 11 and 12. We wish to begin reading at Genesis 11, verse 27, through Genesis 12, verse 9. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis 11, verse 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran, and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who continues to receive treatments. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Trevor Alleman, who were blessed with a well-born daughter in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we often sing together, O Lord my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace that was in the heart of thy servant. Lord, by nature, it is foreign to us. We do not know of such a desire to see thy grace, to gather before thy face. Lord, wilt thou remember us, all we have accustomed, and that custom that we have followed again in this day, in this morning hour, accustomed to appear before our Maker, our Creator. Custom to bow our heads before Thee and to supplicate to Thee, to acknowledge Thee, to worship Thee. Lord, it is a custom that will one day testify against us. If it remains in us a custom, but a custom, our whole life long, then, Lord, there is but one that is able to make it different in this morning. That is Thee. Thou in whom is all the power, in whom is all the might and the strength. O thou who speakest and it is done, and thou who commandest and it stands fast. O thou canst but open thy mouth in this morning hour to make that great change that we cannot miss in the short time of our life as we travel between the cradle and the grave to a never-ending eternity. Lord, how solemn is our life. It is all before thy countenance, but how foolish that we are in that state in which we have been born, as so dead in sins and in trespasses, that we seek all the vanity that thou sayest to us is going to pass away, and that we cannot take one thing that we have labored for in this world, for this world, cannot take one thing along. It is all temporary. It is all vain. And Lord, we cannot give our heart to do anything but to cleave to all that is passing away. And it is a wonder that thou givest that we with our children may be, that there may be a distinction between us and so many, that thou bringest us into thy house of prayer, and to that place where thou promisest to work, to build up thy church, to convert sinners unto thee. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to be a day of thy good pleasure, to pour forth thy Spirit in a rich measure amongst us and amongst our dear children, that we might begin that journey upon a narrow way by an entrance through a straight gate, that gate of that new birth. Lord, that is a gate that thou dost bring a man through, wherein he is stripped of everything, all that can only go through as a wretched, as a miserable, as a poor, as a naked sinner. Lord, what are we? Oh, that thou may look upon us as we are lying, dead in sins and in trespasses and polluted in our own blood, a heart seeking after this world. Oh, look upon us, Lord, and speak thou. That is our only hope. That is our only expectation. Because we will never call upon thy name in truth. But when thou wilt speak, and when thou wilt give new life, and when thou wilt say live, then we shall live. When thou wilt turn us, then we shall be turned. And thou wilt draw us, then we shall run after thee. Lord, to whom else then can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and thou alone can give it to us and to our children. And this we acknowledge, that we have departed from thee, that we have left thee days without number. We have cut off all our own ability to obey thee in thy law. And we can no longer live up to that perfection that thou requirest. Lord, it is our own fault. It is our own doing. And we have brought death upon ourselves. But Lord, we beseech thee, who has made a way for the lost ones to be saved. Oh, we beseech thee, who has fulfilled it in thine only begotten Son, who has sent him into this world for those that are lost. Lord, oh, come thou then and bless that which he has done for us and for our children, that it may also be applied unto us, and that we may not hear only with our natural ears, but that our soul may be given new ears, spiritual ears this day, to hear and a heart to understand. Lord, we beseech it of thee. There is no expectation from our side, and not from ourself, not from those to whom we bring thy word. Lord, from our side it is all forfeited. But thou canst do it for thy name's sake. Oh, take reasons then out of thyself in this day to look upon us in mercy. Bless thy people. Oh, they wander from thee days without number. Lord, how often is it not the question yet within their heart, even with all that had taken place already in their life? Oh, shall I yet be accepted? Shall I yet be received? Oh, will I not be cast out as one that hath no wedding garment? Lord, the fears that lay in the heart of thy church can be often so many when they continually see what they are and what they remain. Oh, that thou wouldst strip them, each and every one, of false foundations whereon they continually build, but that they may be given to see something of the blessedness of that new and living way, wherein a free and sovereign grace is bestowed upon the chiefest of the sinners. Lord, that this may go open for the first or by renewal in the life of thy people. Lead them from step unto step in that way that leadeth unto Zion. Lord, remember us all together in the natural things also. Oh, that thou may use them Also, for a blessing sanctified to our soul. Be with the child who receives continually treatments in these weeks in preparation for another surgery. Lord, make it well. Strengthen those parents. Bless the affliction. And may thou thyself heal and humble. Remember those who have received once again a well-born child. Lord, thou hast made it well for the body. Oh, may thou increase the strength of mother and child together. And wilt thou make it well for the soul, as thou alone also art able to do. Lord, when thou hast brought them through, oh, that thou may bring through also that new birth. And then not only they, but that whole family and each and every one of us in this day. Wilt thou so be with all those that mourn, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that are lonely, and all that have needs and crosses known to thee. Wilt thou supply in the lives of each and every one? Lord, wilt thou go before us in this day? Wilt thou give that thy word may have free course, that it may be not only upon thy Sabbath day, but that it may be also in each day in our own homes, also within our own school. And then, Lord, thou knowest the needs that are there, made out, remember, when they plan for a new year. Lord, when there are insufficient instructors to teach our children, when the concerns are so very many, and when the discouragements can be so very great, Lord, we beseech thee that thou from thy side may work once again the wonders at which we may only stand in awe, and that thou would remember all those that bring thy word to our children. Lord, give us then converted teachers, parents, office bearers, minister. Oh, convert us and grant life in our souls, faith in exercise, and the ability to bring thy word. Be also with those that have relatives who are sick. Wilt thou remember each one of them? And wilt thou bless us this day with a blessing undeservedly out of thy heavenly store? We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 32, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, hear the right. Regard my prayer. Regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Send thy approval from on high. My righteousness make clear. Thou, in the night my heart has tried, nor found it turned from thee aside. The last collection today is for our school, Psalter number 32, stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation, we have heard what the Lord has permitted man with his technology in our days now to do, that is, even to land a vehicle far out in space upon the planet of Mars. For what is man looking? Man is looking once again, man is searching for another world. We do not read of such another world in the Word of God. We do indeed read of another world. Paul speaks to the Ephesians about two worlds. He speaks about this world and a world, he says, that is to come. Thus, actually, there are two worlds. But they are not two natural worlds. But they are two worlds that are very different. One of them is a temporal world. The other is an eternal world. One of these is a carnal world, and the other of these is a spiritual world. Do we believe that there are actually two worlds? These two worlds are a reality. They exist. There are those that want to deny a spiritual world. They say dead is dead. They say, boys and girls, that you and I, we are just like the animals. That when we die, then we have no continuing existence just like the animals die. But man can deny what he wants, but he cannot take away the consciousness in his own self, in his own being, of another world, of that which is spiritual. Then he cannot take away from himself that consciousness of the existence of God, of a judgment of God, that we are accountable. He cannot take away the guilt which he feels within his conscience. Thus, being dead in sins and in trespasses, what does that mean? That does not mean that we are completely unconscious of any life above the life in this world. That does not mean that we are unconscious of a life more than that the animals have. But to be dead in trespasses and sins means that we have lost that spirit that we have been given in paradise. We have lost that image of God, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Paul speaks to the Corinthians about the quickening of a new life. He says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, he says, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the course of the prince of the power of the air. prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That is Satan. Thus, he is also a spirit. And thus, he also belongs to that other world. He belongs to that spiritual world. And what happens in that quickening that Paul speaks of? Then a man is no longer serving that spirit that he is serving in his birth in this world, but he begins to serve another spirit. That is the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, what a change. What a complete change. Completely a new life. We see something of this also in the life of Abraham, which we wish to consider together in this morning, with the Lord's help from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4a. Verses 1 through the first part of verse 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. So far, the words of our text. Abram's departure out of the land of the Chaldees. First, a sovereign call. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Second, a trying command. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Third, an alluring promise. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Fourth, a blessed obedience. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Abram's departure out of the land of the Chaldees, first, a sovereign call. Second, a trying command. Third, an alluring promise. Fourth, a blessed obedience. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Why Abram? Why not Haran? Why not Nahor? We read these are the brothers of Abram. Or, for that matter, why not that whole list of the genealogy of Abram that you can read in this foregoing chapter? Why Abram? What can we only answer to that question? That is the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord. That is the sovereign good pleasure of the King of heaven and earth. That he is choosing one and leaving another. Two shall be working in the field, one shall be taken and another left. Who of us can give an explanation? That is that sovereign good pleasure of the Lord, against which we are not to rebel. which we are not to question, but which we are called to bow under as that sovereign God and the Lord had said unto Abram. But did he not also speak to Haran? Did he not also speak to Nahor? Did he not also speak to the whole genealogy? And that we read in chapter 11, clearly. These are the sons of Shem. Shem has seen the wickedness of the first world. Shem has been a builder of the ark that the Lord has commanded his father to build. Shem has spent 1 year and 17 days living in that ark. Shem has spoken of this unto his posterity, unto his children, unto his grandchildren. But it was only 100 years later that we see that his descendants have corrupted themselves and that they have built that Tower of Babel. And thus Noah has lived to see his own posterity punished by the Lord. Now it is only 350 years after that great flood. And then what do we see? All the dealings that the Lord has had, and then in a special way with that those descendants of Shem, and that they have left that service of the Lord because it is a people that did live in idolatry. They have departed from the ways of God. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. No, it is not as if the Lord did not speak to his brethren. No, it is not as if the Lord did not speak in the outward callings of this life. It is not as if the Lord did not speak to them in their upbringing. But now that inward calling, that it must be distinguished from the outward calling. And how is that distinguished? That is actually distinguished in a sovereign God, in a righteous, in a free choice of a sovereign God, with all the instructions that have come, with all of the callings that have come to every one of the descendants of Shem, there is not one who has sought after the Lord. Thus, every one of them made themselves worthy of another judgment. How is that with us? Despite all the Lord's callings, despite all the instruction that you and I may receive from our fathers, from our mothers, or was it in our heart to serve the Lord? Is it then not righteous that the Lord would cast away every single one of us because of our choice? And what is our choice? Our choice is to harden our necks against all the judgments and all the callings that come unto us. Thus not one doeth good, no, not one. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Thus, that is
the mercy of the Lord in His sovereign good pleasure to speak, not to be silent, but to speak unto Abram. Where was Abram when the Lord spoke to him? Abram was in Ur of the Chaldees. Here, when we read in the beginning of this chapter, then Abram is in Haran. But what we read, that the Lord had spoken unto Abram. In other words, that the Lord had spoken unto him already when he was in the land of Ur. And Abram has come out with his father, with his family, unto Haran. And there Terah, his father, has passed away after a few years. And then it can be that the Lord has renewed, that the Lord has come again to confirm that which the Lord had spoken unto him. Thus, the Lord had spoken unto Abram when he was there in Ur. We do not read that Abram had spoken unto the Lord. We do not read that Abram, because of the instructions that he has received, that he began to seek the Lord. No, but we read that it comes from the side of God, that the Lord is coming to speak unto Abram. That is true of every single one of the elect of God. The Lord does not find congregation, His people, His elect, when they are in the state of death, and when Satan is still as that strong man armed, keeping his palace. No, the Lord does not find them seeking after him. But the Lord finds them lying polluted in their own blood. Even when they are religious people, even when they are living as a Pharisee, even when they are living with much form and much custom. Or is there not therefore hope? Is not our hope to be found in this? When we feel that we cannot convert ourselves, when we feel so bound by that prince of darkness, when our heart is so drawn after all that is in this world, and that we cannot make one change in our thoughts, that we cannot give ourselves one true sigh, not one true cry to God. Has it ever become hopeless? When it has become hopeless, when we come to see, when we come to feel something of how dead, how wretched, how miserable that we are, then there can be but one hope. Then we say, Lord, come. Lord, come. Lord, be the Alpha for me. Lord, be the beginning for my children when I cannot change their heart. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, oh, what a place that we may now come to go home with our children. Really, congregation, we may stop here. Really, we may stop here and we may go out of the door of God's house and we may go home to our place. And we may say, Lord, I have heard now where my only hope is. That is in thee. Lord, I have heard out of thy word that the Lord spoke unto Abram. O Lord, come. And then to wrestle, as Jacob wrestled with the Lord, and never to let him go until the Lord will bless us and our children. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, that is for Abram congregation, the beginning of a new life. What a change is now going to come in the life of Abram. How old is he? He is 70 years old. How old are you? Are you also 70 years old? And he was not too old to have a very great change come in his life. Or we are never too old. Here's a picture, congregation, a picture in Abram of that new life. A picture of the implantation of faith in the life of one who is living in Ur of the Chaldees, in the worship of the idols. What does that include, however? We see it in our second thought, a trying command. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Thus, what does the Lord command of Abram? He commands of him separation. Separation. Separation that is one of the marks of that new life. Has to be. Why? Because we cannot serve God and mammon. Why must there be separation? Because that new life that is going to require something. That new life that is going to embrace something. And when we will embrace this new thing, that means we need to denounce something else. If there is no separation in our life, then we miss a mark of grace. Does not mean there is no grace. It is either on the one side that there is no grace at all, or it is on the other side that that grace that is not very healthy. Think about Solomon. Think about Lot. When he's living in Sodom, then there is grace. And yet that separation that cannot be seen. What does Abram have to separate himself from? We read here, get thee out of thy country. That was, he had to separate himself from that idolatry. He has to separate himself, of course, literally. That is not possible for God's true church. Here in this world, the Lord Jesus asked of his Father not to take them out of the world. That will be. But not now. But he said that thou mayest keep them from the evil of this world. Thus, it is the love of the world from which that true church needs to be separated. The Apostle John, he writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Get thee from thy country. That is, to leave our country with the love ties of our heart. That our country would no longer be our comfortable home, what we seek. Get thee from thy country, lay up for yourselves treasures which are in heaven. That is another world where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, because where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also, the Lord Jesus says. Is then our treasure, is that then in another world, not on Mars, that is what the natural man seeks, but another world, a world that does exist. Thus, get thee from thy country. Get thee from the love of this carnal world. Get thee from the service of this carnal world. From serving the fashions of this world. From serving the entertainments of this world. This world has a prince. It is the prince of this world. He is the driving force behind what is in this world. But those who are friends of the world, James says, they are the enemies of God. Get thee from thy country. Abram had to leave it. And he had to become a pilgrim, traveling to a different country. Thus Paul says that those that buy, for we must still buy, they must be as though they did not possess. Those that use this world, for we still must use this world, must be as those who do not abuse it, that we do not have our hearts set on this world. Get thee from thy country. There is more. We read, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. That is not easy, because there are the ties of the flesh. There is love in our heart. And Abram was not called to stay and to speak to all of his loved ones concerning the service of the Lord, to warn them. Why not? Oh, it was a posterity that knew of those ways of the Lord. It was a posterity that knew of the dealings of the Lord. And now the Lord will judge them. He will call Abram out of their midst, and he will leave them unto themselves. Bunyan's pilgrim, he speaks unto his family out of the love of his heart, out of the need of his heart. But finally, he cannot stay any longer for his family. But he has to leave his kindred and his father's house. There needs to come, the Lord says, a separation. Why? Oh, lest we learn the ways of the world. Lest we become accustomed to these ways. Lest the love of our heart be drawn unto the world. It is much easier for Abram to leave and to separate himself from all of his idols than he will not have his family around him still serving those same idols that will be for him a temptation. Others, congregation, have influence on us. Do you believe that, young people? Do you believe that other people have an influence on you? Your friends that you choose are so, so important. And if you have no desire to walk in the way that they walk, then do not walk along with them. Then you need also to separate yourself from them so that the temptations, they will not be there anymore. So the Lord says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. That was also because the Lord was going to give Abram his ordinances. The Lord was going to establish his covenant with Abram. And then, no, not in the midst of his own family. That is not easy for Abram. It is not easy for God's people to separate themselves. Even when there is that new life. Because they still also have a flesh. And that flesh still longs after that old, wicked, sinful life. Therefore, the Lord commands them this separation, that they may cut themselves off from all of these temptations. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. The Lord did not tell Abram where he had to go. How is that not so often what is experienced in the life of God's church? They are called. And what do they know? They know they have to go out. They know they cannot stay where they are. They know that this is a very dangerous place. They know that it is a city of destruction. They know that it is going to be burned by the Lord. They know that if they remain in this life, the way that they are born, in the path that they are traveling, they know that it shall go ill for them. But whither shall I go? How can I deliver myself out of this state and condition that I am in? Thus, Abram is called to go out from his country, but the Lord, he is not telling him immediately where that he must go. Thus, that people, they have no choice anymore. No, they have to go, but the way to go, they do not know. One thing is for sure when they go out, that the Lord is cutting off the way that is going back again. And sometimes they see such longings in the way. How shall I ever go forward? And then they think to go back again. But they cannot go back again. Why not? Because the Lord has drawn up that bridge unto the world. The Lord has cut that way off for them. There is no way. There is only death behind me. And therefore they have to go forward and say, if I perish, then I perish. But that inward calling, that does not only cut off from that old way. No, that inward calling that is drawing also unto another way. They have to leave so much. They have to leave so much, young people. So much. So much that is the joy of my heart. So much that I love. How could you ever do that? How could I ever cut off? Is that now what's in your heart also? How could I ever cut off that life which I live? Oh, how good the Lord is. He allures with a promise. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. And curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Oh, how good the Lord is. And he is not driving them as an animal. When he is cutting off that old way, when he is commanding them out of thy country, then he is also drawing them. He is luring them with a new life. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Therefore, these blessings that the Lord is promising to Abraham, they are not just carnal blessings. They are not blessings that point ultimately to the things that are in this world and the blessings of this world. But they are spiritual. So the Lord is calling unto his bride. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For the winter is past. The rain that is over and gone. The time of the appearing of the flowers is come. The voice of that turtle dove that is heard in our land, that fig tree that giveth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grapes give a good smell, luring. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Thus cutting off that way of the world and calling unto a heavenly life, calling unto a heavenly Canaan, calling unto a new world, giving a new, another, a higher expectation and a hope. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. And I will bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfortably unto her. And I will make of thee a great nation. Then we must see the promise in the light of the burden of Abram. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Thus the Lord is working also by his providences in the life of his people. To bring his word and his providences, his workings and his dealings in this world, bring this all together for the profit of his true church. What is so often necessary to make us loose from this world? Disappointments in this life. That the expectations that we had in this life, they are not fulfilled. That life that once meant so much to us, that we see does not fulfill, then that bond that is breaking. Because then we want a seed, we want children in the world, and we want to bring them up in the world, and we want to bring them up for the world, and we want to give them a good position in this world, the blessings of this world. But Paul, he says, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Thus, there needs to be a way of cutting off from this world, and the Lord is making his church so often to be despised in this world, barren according unto this world. The Lord Jesus says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, therefore the world hateth you. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. O Abraham, these are different blessings. These are blessings of another world. These are blessings that you are now given to covet. I will fill you, Abraham, with a new spirit that the Lord is giving that people to covet. To covet another world. May you ever covet another world. Beside this world that we leave behind soon? Did we ever covet the blessing of the favor of God? Did we ever covet the blessing of the communion with God? Those are the blessings of another world. Let us sing. Psalter 125, stanzas 1 through 4. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King, forsake the world and every former friend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 125. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That is our last thought, a blessed obedience. Congregation, from where does that come? A blessed obedience. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Because that calling in an outward way that is coming to each and every one of us, forsake the world and every former friend. And now, was there ever obedience in our life? Most turn a deaf ear to this calling. We are like Gallio. We read that Gallio cared for none of these things. And some indeed, they come out. They come out for a little while. As an orpa, as a pliable, and it seems well, and it looks so good, but soon they are returning as a sow to their wallowing in the mire. So we read of Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. But Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Thus, there is that remnant that may go in that way of obedience. That despised, that rejected remnant by this world, who may rise up and who may come away. It was said to Rebekah, "Wilt thou go with this man?" What did she say? "I will go." Then she left everything behind. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That is, congregation, the beginning of his journey. And he also leaves everything behind him. How is that possible? That a man can just cut off all the love of his heart, of his flesh. How is it possible? The Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. And it is the Spirit of the Lord who is causing Abram to go. It is the Spirit of the Lord that is awakening, that is stirring up that new desire and longing in the heart of Abram. And the heart of every one of that people who are called by grace, that their heart may begin to burn, that it may begin to long, to hunger and thirst after another world. Then there is a cleaving to things that they never cleaved to before. There is also an opposition that comes up against it, to which they are given to say, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to follow after thee." It's not a power that comes from self. And because it is not a power that began in self, there's going to be a continuance. Even if He stops in Haran. Even if that calling needs to be renewed again, still the Lord, He is going to work it through. And the Lord is going to finish perfectly what He for that people has undertaken. Congregation, get thee out. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. That is now a calling that comes to every one of us in this morning hour. What is our heart's reply? Do we not also love this present world? Is there now anything? Is there the smallest desire? Is there the smallest hunger, thirst after another world? For those things which are spiritual, for those things which are not belonging to this world, but that belong unto the Lord. It is not according to the wisdom of this world, but was the wisdom of this world ever made foolishness to you, that you may seek another world? Get thee out of thy country. That is a people, Paul says, of whom this world are not worthy. They are not of this world anymore. Now they are traveling. Now they've become a pilgrim unto another world. They will be hated by the world. Why? Because their life testifies against the world. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory except in that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which he says, I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. Get thee out of thy country. Oh, how is it, people of the Lord? Oh, does your heart now not condemn itself? And why? Because you say, my heart that is so in this world. And I remember a time in my life that it was not so. I remember a day when I could leave this whole world behind. Nothing in this world mattered to me. But oh, how different has my life become. And so with sorrow, so with grief, the church is walking through this world. Grief because they cannot overcome that old man who is still cleaving to everything that is here below. That is that sorrow that the Lord Jesus has spoken about when he also addressed his own disciples. He said that the world that is going to rejoice, also the religious world, they are going to rejoice. And you are going to be sorrowful. That is now the life of the church because of that lack of sanctification in my life. It is not complete here below. That is now the grief. That is now the sorrow. And the most blessed moments all day are when that heart that can joy in the things of the Lord. And pretty soon, the Lord Jesus has promised that your sorrow, that is going to be changed into joy. Because then the flesh will die. It will be laid in a grave. And sin and the cleaving for this world and all that is temporal will be all done. There they shall go to live in another world. Congregation, get thee from thy country, from thy father's house. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it will take an almighty work of thy Holy Spirit, because we cannot leave what we love. Oh, give us a new love, Lord, a new desire, a new longing that may be stronger. Oh, that thy hand may be too strong for us. Draw us. We will run after thee. Wilt thou bless thy word, as thou hast promised to do, even unto the end of the world? Wilt thou dismiss us with thy blessing? Help him who must officiate in this afternoon. Strengthen, encourage, give thy blessing in the midst of the congregation. Be with us where we go. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 55, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord, my shepherd, holds me. And within his tender care, and with his flock, he folds me. No want shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me. With plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 55. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.